It feels so good to get unfiltered and unfettered. And now, here's Tony and Fran.
And from the Monolith Studio 1B, this is UFUF 134. We've been down a couple of weeks, but we're back. This is your steamingly arrogant co-host, Tony the Bully Opinionist, along with my partner, a man who looks like every person from Verona, Italy, over the podcast, Sir Francis One. Fran, good evening. It's been a couple of weeks.
A little hiatus. We picked a good time to come back.
Yes.
Everything's starting to break loose, including a storm here in Knoxville that almost preempted us again.
Well, let's talk about that, because I'm tired of it. It's like 90 degrees or it's a thunderstorm.
Right. I have a friend, she posted a picture of her backyard, and there's a trampoline there standing up perfectly straight. And I thought she was saying, look, you know, my trampoline survived the storm. And the caption underneath, she says, well, I don't own a trampoline, so that storm must have been stronger than we thought.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So it got lifted out of someone's yard and perfectly deposited in her backyard. So we got pretty hairy here for a little bit.
Well, I have taken two overnight Harley trips so far this year. Got rained on both times. Getting a little tired of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Summer in Tennessee, bud.
It doesn't normally rain this much, though. I mean, I'm hoping July will dry out. I mean, this Saturday, so this is July the 7th, Thursday, we're going on another overnighter over to Middle Tennessee. I'm just hoping it's not going to thunderstorm.
95 and storms tomorrow. So, I mean, it's going to be nasty.
Tired of it. Okay, so the world's melting down, but it's good because we're still here.
Yeah.
Having fun.
We're kind of right in the middle of it, really.
I hate that we've taken 2 weeks off, but damn, there's a lot of stuff going on. And
we do have nice tans. You can't really see that.
Well,
if you squint your eyes, you might be able to. But I mean, because we're both rocking some pretty nice looking tans.
Fran, you always have the nice tan.
Well, I do. I mean, I'm all
I mean, you're the swarthy. Yeah. You're the swarthy one.
I'm a
bunch,
dago.
So. But I did take a 4-day mini vacation to Florida. We're going to talk about the algae down there, so I'll get to that. But went on a scuba trip down there, and so we're back. That was why we were off last week. But let's go ahead. We're going to shotgun the news. We're going to talk about conspiracy tonight. Possible conspiracy. Hardcore politics. Signs of the apocalypse. We're going to spend a lot of time in shotgunning the news tonight, I think. So let's go ahead and get that started. All right, Francis, so our presumptive Republican nominee had a little speech last night.
Yeah.
Presser speech?
Here's how packed the podcast is tonight. We're leading with Trump's presser. So he had a press conference who everyone, I think, in the world, I don't know about you, I did, everyone else thought, he's going to rip Hillary a new one because the FBI just come out and said, basically, look, she lied, and if she was anyone other than Hillary Clinton, we'd bury her under the friggin' jail.
Right.
Not 3 hours before. Trump gets on there, and he opens with how much he admires Saddam Hussein for being a terrorist killer and keeping the Middle East stable.
Yeah. We talked about a whole lot of stuff other than that.
Well, right. No, that was the tip, right? Then it just rambled out of control. I mean, it was rambling even for Trump. I mean, I think you've mentioned his command of the English language when he speaks publicly is not great. This was, I mean, it was bizarre. It was just bizarre.
Here's Trump's, and I read an article about this that was really prescient. Because we were watching that speech. I was watching it with my wife, and she actually said to me, is he going to get to the point? I said, no, that's not what Trump does.
That's right.
He starts out with a topic.
Right.
In the middle of it, he diverts to something that has to do with him.
Right.
And then he finishes it up at some point in time, right?
I mean,
but that's what he does.
He went from talking about, I can't even remember how he got to Bobby Knight. But at some point he was talking about Bobby Knight telling him, you got to run for president. So he did. I mean,
right.
So the best tweet of the night out of all that was this guy who tweeted, the FBI just handed him a home run on a silver platter. And instead, Trump decides to hit himself in the face with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He either needed to hammer Hillary or not do a press conference.
Right.
Because no one cares that he won that state that he won last night.
Right.
Which is why he was on, right?
But
let that thing fester. Let everyone complain about what the FBI did. But instead, you get in there and make a buffoon of yourself. I mean, it's just brutal.
But I wish I would have saved this article because it talks about his speech patterns very succinctly. He starts out talking about one thing, then he's talking about visiting his golf course in Scotland and how great his son Eric is and what a great job he did, and he brings Eric up on stage and he has Eric say a few words and how great that is. Oh, because he started out talking about how he was taking criticism for saying he was going to make money off the Brexit. Well, that's not true. Here's what really happened. And then he goes off on this divergent topic. And then, you know, he finally comes back to it. But it's a...
He chases, you know, the exact opposite of what we were taught when we were, teaching.
Absolutely.
He chases every rabbit hole that comes into his mind.
Yes.
The minute he thinks of something and it reminds him of something else, most people can stay on track long enough to make the point.
But, Fran, they eat it up. They eat it up.
Yeah, they do.
They cheer him on.
It's bizarre. It's almost as crazy as Hillary supporters.
Almost. Like,
they're pretty much saying she's a criminal and a liar.
Yes.
And her support is going up. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
All right, next. All right, so, as I already said, I took a brief vacation down to Florida. I got a big toxic algae bloom going on down there. They drained Lake Okeechobee, and it's fertilizer and animal waste that they over-drain in that thing or something. They're killing manatees down there. They're killing wildlife.
So what? This is just creating some giant... Like, what is it? Like, is it
It's an algae bloom. That's what they call it.
Actually, I mean, you can see it?
It's...
I
mean, oh, yeah. Google it. Okay. You know. That is so cliche. But Google it. Google Florida algae bloom and look at some of the pictures. The smell is supposed to be overbearing. They literally closed down beaches. They actually have some people that are shooting like hose sprays of water into the ocean to create a little clear path for some of the wildlife to come up and get air. It's incredible.
Holy cow.
It's incredible. So, yeah. Algae bloom in Florida. All right, next. All right, Fran. We've talked about this before, but this is different. Talking about cops killing black folks. Had two incidents, one in Louisiana, one in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what. I saw the thing in Minnesota. I listened to the audio on the way home, and I don't know if you've listened to it all the way through where the little girl goes, "Mommy, I'm here," or whatever she said. It made me cry, dude. Mm-hmm. They murdered those people. They murdered those,
yeah,
they
you
murdered
know,
those people.
And, you know, in those other instances, you know, what did we always say? Look, when the cops tell you to get down, you get down. Or you put your hands up, you put your hands up. Well, that guy in Minnesota complied.
He got pulled over for a broken taillight,
right.
And he was doing what he was told.
He said,
and that
I
cop just flat out murdered him.
He said, "I have a gun, I have a permit." The guy, you can hear the officer initially ask for his license. And the dude reaches for it, and then all of a sudden everything starts freaking out, and then he's dead. Like, he's shot in the arm, which must have gone through his arm or something. Because then he laid there and literally expired while the officer did nothing but point the gun at him. Didn't get a call for help, nothing. Stood there frozen.
Well,
and then when he realized he was being filmed, started yelling, "I told him not to go."
Well, and when he's yelling, he's freaking out.
Yeah, no, he clearly realizes he's messed up.
I mean, Francis, if you're so frightened when you stop somebody for a taillight that you draw on them and gun them down, you got no business being a cop.
Right.
How in the freak does that happen?
No, I agree.
And then this dude in Louisiana, they got a knee in the guy's chest. They're on top of the guy.
Kneeling on his arm.
And they just draw out and they just capped his ass.
Yeah, and they put a couple in
his. These people deserve to be held responsible for their actions.
And his back, which means they shot him as he was rolling over. So, yeah, this is not going to end well. I don't think you're going to see anyone getting off in these two.
It's unbelievable. Well, the governor of Minnesota already come out pretty strong on that one up there. That guy needs to be held responsible. Yeah. He murdered that kid. And you know what? I just saw some preliminary information about the guy. He was like a supervisor at school cafeteria. Looked like a decent guy.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. That's the only difference. In Louisiana, the dude was a convicted felon. Shouldn't have had a gun.
Yeah.
But...
But he's selling CDs in front of a damn convenience store.
Right, and he was...
Holy shit, he ain't selling crack.
Right.
He ain't peddling women. Jeff, man.
Yeah.
This is just... And you know, these things get sensationalized, and it's a shame. But it breaks my heart, it really does. All right. I guess we're clear on that. Next. Fran, so from your and my favorite news station and our favorite news... So the former Miss America, I think it was 1999 or something, like that, Gretchen Carlson, she's suing Roger Ailes for sexual harassment. Former host of, what do they call it, Fox and Friends.
Right, and then she took over Megyn Kelly's...
No, she went to an afternoon show called The Real Story or something like that.
Oh, okay. But then
she got moved there because of her conflict with Roger Ailes, because she's claiming that she got moved because she wouldn't respond to his sexual whatever. And she also indicts your favorite weatherman, Steve Ducey, as basically giving her some kind of, I don't know, light harassment, like... He disrespected her in commercial breaks.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
I know you're a big Steve Ducey fan.
I'm Steve Ducey. It's cold. What happened to the global warming? It's cold here now. What a jackass.
Anyways, I just think it's funny Gretchen Carlson is suing Roger Ailes. I'm going to be interested to see how this works out. Because...
Oh, this is going to be a settlement. There's no way this gets into a courtroom.
Yeah, maybe. But... So Gretchen Carlson, former Miss America, if you go on YouTube, there's a classic deal with... You remember Dick Clark? Remember he did like this show like Gags and...
Yes.
Jokes or... What was the name of that? I don't remember.
I know, but it had a real goofy graphic on it of a wide open mouth. It was
yeah.
Really goofy.
So they did a gag on Gretchen Carlson. This was before she was on Fox and Friends, but after she was Miss America... Where they had her, she was supposed to be a guest host on some local TV show hawking some product. And then when she gets there, then they just kind of stick her out on her own, right? And they say, like, oh, the stars couldn't make it. We need you to cover for 10 minutes and just go out there and be a trooper. And, you know, she was a trooper. And they say that that clip of how well she handled that is what led to her. Actually, because she worked for CBS for 5 years before she went to Fox.
Okay.
And they say her being the cool character that she was on this Gags and Practical Jokes or whatever it was led to her, you know, getting into the TV industry. Anyways, Gretchen, poor Gretchen. go get him, Gretchen.
We're with you. Gretchen.
Get that old son of a bitch.
We're Team Gretchen.
That old pervert bastard. That's right. We're on Team Gretchen. All right. Let's go next. All right, Fran, I can't believe that the TSA engaged in some disrespectful
yes.
behavior.
If any of you have ever heard his rants before, his hatred for TSA is legendary. So this is one of ours. They beat one of ours. Tennessee woman.
In Memphis.
Mentally disabled. Handicapped. Physically handicapped as well. Half paralyzed. Blind and partially deaf. She's going through the line with her mother, and then she gets picked for, and what do you call it when you get called out of line to get checked?
Scan?
Extra thing, yeah. And they start to pull her away from her mother, but she doesn't know what's happening, so she tries to fight back and get to her mother, so they slam her to the ground, cracking her head in the process on the floor, and then they beat her until she stopped resisting. She's half paralyzed. Like she, you know,
right.
She doesn't know what's happening. TSA's response to all this: pictures of her bloody face are all over the internet, as you might imagine. TSA's answer: they should have told us she was special needs. Oh, what? Then you wouldn't have, like, knocked her teeth out? You only would have dotted her eye? I mean, come on. How is the TSA still in operation? Why are we paying... I mean, I have relatives in jail for this sort of behavior. How is it that we're paying our tax dollars for this to happen?
Graham, let me tell you. I was going through Boston, and this was in the early days of the full body scanners, right? Where you get the boo.
Right.
Right. So I'm in the big long line, and they've got a body scanner and like the traditional magnetic thing walk through, right? So in front of me is this 105-pound smoking hot brunette. I mean, just she's got it going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm counting. I'm looking. Because at the front of the line, one person's going to the scanner. One person goes to the body scanner. One person goes to the magnetic thing. One person goes to the body scanner. I'm like, I'm getting the body scanner. My girl in front of me, she's going through the magnetic thing, right? We get to the front. What happens?
Oh, yeah, I can tell you what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, the fat TSA guy sends my girl to the body scanner. So then I step up in line, I look at him in the face, and I go, really, dude? You really did that? And he deadpans me, right?
Oh, really? Yeah.
And I get, yeah, they're pieces of shit. They really are. But what do you expect? What do they pay these people? Minimum wage? I mean, you know, these are Walmart greeters, for God's sakes.
Well, but the
I mean, I don't want to disrespect them, because I will tell you the truth. I mean, I just went on a plane trip last weekend, and some of those TSA people, I don't want to disrespect them all, because some of them were, they're doing a good job. You know, they're greeting me, hey, sir, how are you doing this morning? You know, how's it going? I mean, I don't want to throw shade on all of them, but damn.
I mean, Walmart greeter's not going to whoop your ass when you come in the store.
Well, you got a point there.
You know, they go get a wheelchair for you if you need assistance. The TSA decides, oh, I think I could take this one. She's mentally delayed. And then they jump her, three of them, and they beat her to death. I mean...
And then the thing I hate, you get up to the line, and look, I'm always like speedy. Like, I'm wearing a pair of slip-ons.
Right.
I'm not wearing a pair of lace-up boots.
No belt. No.
I'm prepared for airport security. And then they rush me. And I've told them before, quit hurrying me. I'm going as fast as I freaking can. You fucking prick.
You're going to be next. They're going to drag you into a room?
Probably so.
You got five guys in there to climb up on you?
Big fat guys, too. I don't got no skinny guys working for the TSA.
He stole our jelly donuts, Fred. Get him.
All right. Next. Tran, our next story. It's a story of redemption. It's a story...
Dear and dear to your heart.
It is near and dear to my heart. It's the classic... I mean, it's Rocky.
It's America.
I'm at the top. It's America. I'm at the top. Then I'm not at the top. Then I climb, claw my way back. Yes, I am talking about the 2016 Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Joey Chestnut loses last year
to
Matt Super Toad Stoney. This year he comes back. And he buries that little prick with 70 dogs.
Wait, what happened to Kobayashi? Did he?
Kobayashi's an afterthought at this point.
Okay. All
right. I mean, literally, Jaws Chestnut won it 8 times in a row before he lost last year.
Okay.
So Kobayashi's been gone for 8, 9 years. I don't know what happened to him.
Did he retire from professional eating, did he?
He's probably in Japan eating sushi contests. I don't know. Jaws Chestnut loses last year. He redoubles his efforts, Francis. He goes on a strict carb program. You know, he's lifting weights. He's running. He's going on 1 minute speed eating contest. He sets the world record with 70 dogs in 10 minutes. 7 hot dogs a minute for 10 minutes.
Joey Jaws. That's impressive.
I say to you, this is why the rest of the world hates us. This is how we
celebrate. No doubt.
This is how we celebrate our independence. But this is America, my friend. Joey Jaws. I don't know why I'm fat. And you know, I'm fascinated.
I know you are. You are.
Every 4th of July, this is what I look forward to.
People, this dominates him more than Bigfoot. He is more obsessed with Joey Charles than he is with Bigfoot. And that's saying something.
So to commemorate, Jaws coming back. Now he's won 9 times. 8 in a row, lost, come back and won for the ninth time. Last year, George Shea hosts a thing. He, you know, he hosts it. His introduction to Joey Jaws Chestnut is classic. And I want you to pay attention because it's a mic drop. Because if you're familiar with radio, you know, like when you're introducing a song, if you can take up all the time right before they start the lyrics, it's like a mic drop, right? Listen to this introduction. It is classic. There's no better. I will. After this, we're going to go to It's a Conspiracy. But we're going to play Joey Jaws Chestnut intro to the 2015 Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Enjoy.
In a world of nothing, of barren hills and cracked earth, and once proud oceans drained to sand, there will still be a monument to our existence. Bleached by the sun, perhaps, and blunted by time, but everlasting. Because this man represents all that is eternal in the human experience. The courage to stand for a nation when all others fail or turn away. The strength to recognize the value of freedom and to accept its cost, no matter how great. Through the curtain of the aurora, a comet blazes to herald his arrival. And his victories shall be transcribed into every language known to history, including Klingon. The bratwurst and pierogi and Hooters chicken wing eating champion of the world. Eight-time Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Champion of the World. The number one eater in the world. I give you America itself, Joey Chestnut.
You're just pawns being used by the government to spread their propaganda.
You think you know the whole story?
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
All right, Fran, we're breaking protocol. Normally we go right into hardcore politics after shotgunning the news. I wanted to go into It's a Conspiracy before we go into hardcore politics because the subjects are going to follow themselves.
Right.
Talking about Bill Clinton meeting Loretta Lynch on the tarmac in Phoenix. Bill Clinton named Loretta Lynch in, I don't know, what was it, 98, 99, something like that, the Attorney General of the East Coast. And so they meet. They talk about their grandkids. And that's it. And a couple days later, Comey comes out. I mean, what do you think, Francis? I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but damn, come on.
I mean, I don't think it's a conspiracy. I mean, because this conspiracy is really something you can never prove. This happened. I mean, he clearly went in there to pimp
for... You can't prove what they talked about.
No, but I mean, he's lying. I mean, I don't need proof.
Do you
for
think that.
That? Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What do you think that
because,
went on
look,
in there?
I think he... to me, it's one of two things. He either went and said, "Hey, what do you got? Do we need to? Is there something we need to prepare for, or what are you going to do with the information you get?" You know,
because 2 days later, she comes out and says,
"We're going to do what the FBI says."
Yeah,
and the FBI, there's the conspiracy. The FBI mysteriously makes an indictment recommendation for which they have no authority to do. Right, the police don't say, "We think you should indict this guy." They say, "Here's the facts," and the DA decides if there's going to be an indictment or not.
Right.
In this case, she abdicates her authority and says, "Whatever the FBI says, that's what we're going to do." But 2 days prior to that, Bill's on an airplane with her.
Well,
does he promise her work in the next administration?
Well, and then who's the boss of the FBI?
The ultimate boss, or the...
Who's the immediate boss of the FBI?
What, this cat?
Huh?
Comey, or whatever his name is, right?
Yeah, who's Comey's boss?
Well, the president.
The president. The attorney general. Who's the...
Oh, right.
You know.
Well,
I mean, it all flows downhill. So yeah. What does Comey do? He comes out and says, which the FBI has never done before, here's the facts, and we're recommending no indictment.
Right. They've never done it before because you don't do that. You don't do it. You don't have the authority to do that. That's what the DOJ is for. That's what the district attorney's office is for. That's what the attorney general's office is for. They decide if something is indictment worthy. And then they go try and get an indictment. The FBI have nothing to do with that part. Their job is to line up the facts. If they say, hey, investigate this. We need to find the smoking gun here. Go find it. They go find it and say, here it is. And that's it. But in this case, 2 days after Big Bill meets with her on the tarmac, she says, well, I'm going to do whatever the FBI says. And the FBI says, don't do nothing. And what does she do? I'm not going to do nothing. Even after the head of the FBI says, if that was somebody else, we'd bury him under the friggin' jail. I mean, there's no conspiracy. It's just a bunch of people lying. I mean, they're not even good at it. Like, there's no secret in here. There's no secrets.
Well, let's act like there's a change of conversation and move this into hardcore politics, even though it'll be the same.
Let's get hardcore.
So, Comey appears before a Senate committee today.
The first of many.
Yeah. I watched it, Francis. I think you watched part of it. There's a couple guys I just want to call out. Mulvaney from South Carolina, Buddy Carter from Georgia. I liked Buddy Carter from Georgia because he asked Comey, he said, look, I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a businessman that got elected to my position. And, you know, so I kind of consider myself kind of like the rest of America, which is, you come out and made a speech, and you said they did this wrong, they did this wrong, they messed this up, this was egregious. However, we're not going to charge anybody with anything. That makes no sense to me. And that was kind of, to me, the overarching message of a lot of the questions that they asked Comey. It's like, look, you're telling us a lot of things were done wrong here. And nothing's, no one's being held accountable.
Right.
No one is being held accountable. You know, they talked about who had access to the classified information.
A lot of uncleared people had access.
Uncleared people that had access to her servers, her lawyers that went through all of her emails, and these people
had no
clearance.
They have no clearance to do that. The existence, okay, and let's get back to something we've been harping on since this became an issue. How was it now, 2 years now?
Yeah.
The existence of a server is a crime all by itself. That is a crime. And then you have an undocumented non-government worker. I shouldn't say undocumented because they attach that to illegals. But this dude was not a government employee. Therefore, he was not vetted by the government. He had no clearance at all. She was paying him $5,000 a month, and he was taking care of the server. But there's top secret information on the server. So how was this guy cleared to see that? Those two things were crimes long before we got to the emails, which we now know by the FBI's count there was, 110 top secret emails sent, even though she claims she didn't send any?
Right.
So we now know she's lying. The FBI's called her a liar. The FBI's basically said any other person would have gotten indicted.
Well, and they said who, you know, they talked about classifications of the email and the fact that it was down channel from Hillary. And of course, the follow up question was, well, okay, who's looking into that? And Comey's response was, well, that's not what we were investigating Hillary. We weren't investigating those people. So in other words, those people may have broke the law, but we're not investigating
them. Right. Not to
mention, I mean,
that
this whole thing is
a whole pile of top secret information has been let out into the public.
Yes.
He even admits that foreign governments would have their way with that server. And yet no one seems to care about that. They're either worried about making sure she doesn't get fried for it, or they're making sure they fry her for it. But there's been a huge security breach. And no one seems concerned by that at all. Snowden had to run to another country. This lady is going to be the president of the United States.
Well, and that's what Mulvaney from South Carolina said. That's the issue with the American people right now. Where's the accountability for anything?
Right.
And that goes for this administration across the board. The IRS.
Yeah.
all that stuff.
Crimes committed there, Benghazi, not addressed
everything.
At all. Yep.
Where's the accountability for anything in this administration? You just do shit, and you don't care, and nobody ever gets held accountable. I mean, this is serious.
Well, this one...
Fran, this reminds me, not to interrupt you, this reminds me of when we were in the military, and we were in the military at the same time together, and Bill Clinton was getting BJs in the Oval Office.
Right.
And my issue was that if I was doing the same thing Bill Clinton did, I would unceremoniously be kicked out of the military with no retirement pay. Bill Clinton got away with it. Military people that did the same thing that happened here would be thrown out on their ass.
Petraeus lost his job over it.
Yes.
He had pillow talk with a girlfriend. Out the door he goes.
But yet, nobody's being held accountable for anything.
They're basically just saying, go, run, win your presidency, it's okay. And, I don't know, like, I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know what in the world why he would go out there and say that. Well, we're not going to charge her. Well, first of all, it's not up to you to charge her. It's up to, Attorney General to do it. So why are you even making that statement? I'm with you. It's just all very, very unregular.
He tried to explain that. And, there's part of me that thinks Comey's just caught in a military
vice. Well, he is in the middle of this. I mean, he's stuck in this.
A political vice is what he's caught in, And there's part of me that thinks he's trying to be an upstanding guy and do the right thing. But still, he just says things to me that are contradictory. Like, people broke the law. We're not holding them accountable. Did they do that? Yeah, they did that. Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm not doing anything about it. That's not for me to answer. Well, then why did you answer that the other day?
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to explain that to the American people. Dude.
Oh. No, see, underlies the entire problem. He's trying to do the right thing. No, just do your job, because your job is the right thing. Just do your job. Because if you do your job, you collect the facts and you present them. And you let them decide what they're going to do with it. But instead, all he did was offer opinion.
But you know what, Francis? Maybe in the final analysis, this was the best he could do. Because he's...
Do you think he's happy with what he served up?
No, I don't.
Then that's not the best he can do.
No.
Because at some point he's not going to be the director of the FBI anymore, and he's going to have to live with what he did.
But maybe
at
some point in time...
in the White House.
But what I'm saying is that maybe at some point in time somebody said, Comey, this is what you're going to say.
But at some point, don't you got to stand up and say, no. We're going to do what's right, and if that costs me my job, so be it.
I don't know, Francis. I don't know.
Because...
these are high stakes games, and I have no way to speak to it. So
I mean, to me,
the fact that no one's getting held accountable for what happened is unconscionable.
But see, and here's the irony: someone's going to get held accountable. It's going to be him, because he's going to have to resign, because the Fuhrer is going to get so loud over this, he is going to resign, because either one, he's forced out because he's used up his purpose, or he's going to do it on his own because of the fervor being caused, and it won't die down, and he'll just resign so it'll go away.
Was even brought up
Someone
in the
Someone's going to get held accountable. It's
that
him.
Was even brought up in the hearings. One of the questioners said, I mean, are you just trying to ride this out for the 48-hour news cycle and thinking it'll go away? I mean, they said that.
Right, and the problem here is it won't, because that's always a thing, right? Well, it's a 24-hour news cycle. Tomorrow there'll be something else. This won't be, as long as she's in the race, right? This is still going to be an issue. And then if she wins, oh my God, it's going to be bad. I mean, this is not going away.
Well, Paul Ryan has already asked the DNI, James Clapper, to deny her classified information. Right. So,
and here's why that's significant. So when you become the nominee of your party, you automatically start getting NSA briefings,
right.
CIA briefings, so that there's continuity when one of you wins. The changeover from one president to the next, there's continuity on world events. What Ryan is proposing, what he's demanding, is that they stop giving her those briefings because of her obvious breach of security and with her top secret information. But if they do that, and then she were to win the presidency, she's going to got to go in handicapped, because she's going to be behind the eight ball on what's going on. there's a reason they do this, and it's an important one. So that's a pretty big step by him. And maybe he's banking that she's not going to win now, that this is going to be enough to upset the apple cart, but I don't know. I mean, we've talked about, you know, Trump's followers and her followers, that they are not going to abandon her just because of this.
No. This is crazy. This is just crazy.
It's stunning. To hear him say the things out loud that he said, and then think that he said, well, we wouldn't charge her. It's just hard to reconcile those things. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, had he come out and said, look, if we charge her, we got to charge the last four secretaries of state because they've all done the same thing. They all have their own personal account. They all have their own server. If he had said that, okay, at least I could accept his reasoning. That's just a can of worms he's not willing to open. Okay, that's kind of gutless, but all right, I get it. I mean, it would be the most momentous, you know, investigation in the history of mankind. But at least it would be an explanation. This is, she's guilty, we're not going to do anything.
But I can't even go with that because I've heard that argument and it just doesn't hold water to me. Because it's like saying, well, they did it too, so why hold this person accountable? That's nonsense.
No,
that's
I'm
nonsense
with you, but I'm just. But at least that would be an explanation. Because what he's got so far is nothing. He's holding a whole bag of nothing. We got all this evidence over here in my left hand, but look at my right hand where it says, don't charge her. That's what we want you to focus on. It makes no sense. There's no... It's just one
and
giant
that's non sequitur. That's what about half a dozen of those congressmen ask him. This makes no sense to us. That was the big question.
All right. Well, I don't know what to do, friend.
Not to mention he broke our streak, right? Because we've been calling political events here. We've been on a... I don't know if you people have been keeping track at home, and shame on you if you haven't been. But we've been on a hot streak of calling shots for the last 2 years. This one got away from me. They got me on this one. Because I was predicting this back in December.
Yes.
And
I saw people walking around in front of my house in black coats and stuff. And I figured we weren't going to get this one.
And so I'm surprised I don't see a red dot on your forehead right now. It's from the sniper rifle through
the
window.
Down. All right. Let's go to Signs of the Apocalypse.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Hear about the throat?
Okay. So I've already been mocked for this tonight, but... Fran, I heard this on the local news today.
Wait. Who's mocking you?
My son.
Oh, okay. Well, that's...
I heard this on the local news today that in the area, not too far from where we live, there was some strange booms, strange sounds, explosive sounds that they can't figure out what they were. And they said this has been happening around the world.
Mm.
So I researched this on YouTube. And
YouTube did.
There's legitimate news reports... from around the world, particularly in the United States, Arizona, Minnesota, Florida, New Mexico, Southern California, a whole bunch of places where they were reporting these strange explosive boom sounds, people's houses rattling with no explanation.
Huh.
That's all you got for me, is that?
My mental Rolodex are just scrolling back through all the times. But I've been warning about these various unexplained events in space, and I felt like I was being mocked for that. And yet now,
by me?
No, just I could feel it from out there. You know, I mean, like
by me. That's what you mean. So,
yeah.
Well, I got mocked for this tonight because I was asked, "Well, what do you think that means?" I'm like, I don't know. I heard, this is not something I created. I heard it on the local news. And they said, you know, if you look into this, this is happening in other places. I did look into it. It is happening in other
places.
And
this is how zombie apocalypses happen, right? A person questions something that doesn't seem to add up. And they're ridiculed because they don't have the answer for what it is.
Yes.
And if...
Why should I suffer ridicule?
If other people would just have questioning attitudes, maybe we stop that patient zero from becoming a zombie and we all live our lives. But...
Of course, I'm also the guy that said, if I would have told one student when we worked at the NCO Academy that I saw Bigfoot, the next day, it would be running like wildfire. If I would have said, hey, dude, I saw Bigfoot running up that hill over there. The next day, everybody, at least five or six students would have saw it themselves.
That's right.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Dude, I saw that too, Sarnop. I saw that too.
It's just the human condition.
So, no, it was the Ohio grass man, bro.
It's the skunk ape. skunk ape. That dude needs a bathe.
It's going to be a tough drive home tonight now. I'll be seeing the fucking skunk ape everywhere.
It's
the chupacabra.
You got to watch out for that, man. If the skunk ape and the chupacabra team up, you got a problem.
Now, that's a thriller I'd go see. That's a movie.
The chupacabra exists. That's the only thing I actually believe in.
Oh, really?
All the rest of that crap is nonsense.
Oh, really? All the rest of that's nonsense.
Yeah,
Wait, but you don't believe in the Ohio grass man?
No.
I mean, it's your hometown thing. I mean,
they're smoking crack.
Really? All right.
But
the chupacabra, that's real.
Here's what I think. Show me one set of bones. Come on. If you got a huge mammal, there's got to be some kind of forensic evidence, and there's none.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right.
A chupacabra, it's a little bitty bloodsucker. It could exist. That's all I'm saying. Out in the desert, those bones
fly up. So you're saying because Bigfoot's corpse hasn't turned up?
Yes. Well, don't you think it would, though? Because in order to have large mammals...
But do you see every bear corpse that when they croak in the woods? I mean...
No, but you could find one, I'm sure. But if you have a large breeding population of mammals... I mean, if you want to talk about bears, I mean, you can see a bear pretty easily. I was in Alaska. I saw like a dozen of them.
Okay. How many didn't you see?
Thousands.
Okay, then.
But what I'm saying is...
the same as your lobster.
I saw a few. They're large breeding mammals. They just can't hide away.
Right, but bears tend to travel, and you know these types of animals tend to tribe up. Whereas the grass man and the Bigfoot they're individuals. I mean, they're lone wolves and they go their own way.
The explanation I got for them is that they're animals that exist in a different dimension, and every once in a while they slip through a tear.
Oh, see, that person's smoking crack.
No, I believe that more than that they just exist. It makes more sense.
Oh, does it? Yeah.
It makes more sense. Why you have these huge hairy mammals that nobody's ever turned up any forensic evidence.
We got pictures. We got grainy
photos.
There's
no pictures. Francis? Those are people in gorilla suits, for God's sakes. It might be a picture of you, for all you know. Because you look like every person in Verona, Italy. I'm talking about a Facebook post that I just thought was funny.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Francis, I'm in Verona, Italy, and everybody looks like you.
Well, you know, Tony, we all look alike. What do you say?
I'm not trying to marginalize you, Francis. All right.
Oh, I've been marginalized. You'll be hearing from my ACLU lawyer.
134 in the books. Friends, we're sorry that we missed two, but, you know, it's just life goes on.
Yeah, there's a needed hiatus, I think.
Life happens. I swear we'll be back next week. And if it doesn't happen... That.
Dude, first of all, Hillary's already got someone on us, so I don't know if we'll be back next week. She's got a long list.
I mean, talk about your conspiracy theories. There's a long list of people that are dead.
She's busy, yes.
She's been associated with.
But she better get to work. She's got some people to eliminate.
Goodness gracious, that is one mean woman. These are the two people we got running for
she's
president.
A killer. So I've seen this. Have you seen this meme floating around Facebook? If Trump and Hillary are stuck on a boat in the middle of the ocean, who wins?
And I've not seen that.
America.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
That's about where we're at.
Yeah, but then who would get elected?
Joe comes out. Oh, look.
Joe comes out?
And he wins it.
Joe?
He wins it for America, my friend.
Dries up a little bit. Comes out.
Yeah, he's probably going to have to dry out a little. He's a little sauced.
Get off the Tangeray.
Well, yeah, maybe hit it a little harder. Who knows?
Love you, Joe. Maybe a little harder. Just get a good vice president and disappear in the Oval Office.
Get one of them young kids keep you awake while you're, you know.
All right, friends. 134 in the books. We'll be back next week with 135. Stay safe, stay sharp. We'll see you next week.
Jonah, tell all the good people night night.
Night night. Night night.
Until next time, stay unfiltered and unfettered.